It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Laurie Fisher and former music critic Joshua Cosman. Now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday, beginning of spring. But we do hope you're not rushing outside and you will stay in and listen to our hour of fun. Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we are looking for is your participation. Hopefully, you have a nice question in mind. We have some in mind ourselves. And we can exchange those. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. This is a good time to call, by the way. We will get you on as soon as possible. So please give us a call. We also give the option of emailing us, and you can do that. We would rather talk to you, but if you want to email, that's fine as well. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And thanks to Joanne, the podcast should be up later on today. That will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but please start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. So we're going to go through a round of introductions and then a round of initial questions. But again, we are waiting for your call, and it is a good time to call in, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And as I mentioned, the intros, and here's the first. Joshua Cosman, like Will Rogers, never met a man he didn't like. But that doesn't mean he hasn't had some notes to give on one or two of them.
That is very true. And still confused that the official opening day of baseball took place this week in Japan, with the dreaded Cubs playing the team that shall remain nameless, comma. Laurie Fisher, nevertheless, is looking forward to hearing play ball on Thursday. Let the games begin.
I hope so. And Dana Rodriguez is not worried about his moderator job because after 31 years, he's finally out of the probationary period.
That's right.
I'm not sure. I think
Laurie,
it's been
Laurie,
extended.
Forgive me, Laurie. Who is the team? What is the team that shall remain nameless?
The Dodgers. They've just been named the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know,
okay. I
mean, we're not supposed to mention their name.
Got it.
Having won the World Series and all that other history. Yeah, but that's who it is.
Oh, the Dodgers are the Macbeth of the baseball world. Is that it?
Well, that's a good way. Starting now, they are.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And we'll be on the questioning with Josh McCosman.
Okay, so here's an Oscar question for y'all. I'm going to give you the names of some actors who were in movies playing the brother of a character for whom a different actor won the Best Actor Award. So I'll give you, for example, if I say to you, James Caan, you tell me Al Pacino in The Godfather, and then I say, no, Al Pacino was nominated, but he didn't win. So we're going to do this with actors who did win the Oscar. So I'm going to give you an actor. You tell me who won a Best Actor Oscar for playing their brother and in what movie. Got it? Here we go.
Yeah. So would James Caan not even be an example?
It's not about James Caan.
Yeah.
It's about
the brother.
That would be if Al Pacino had won.
Got it.
When he was nominated.
Don't muddy the water any more than you have to.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was just trying to think of a hypothetical that wouldn't burn one of my questions. So I'll give you the actor. You tell me the actor who won the Oscar for playing the brother and in what movie. Kyle Chandler, Tom Cruise, Dickie Moore, Guy Pearce, Joe Pesci, Rod Steiger, and Philip Terry.
Ooh.
So again, these all were in movies where somebody won the Oscar for a best actor, not supporting, best actor Oscar for playing their brother. Kyle Chandler, Tom Cruise, Dickie Moore, Guy Pearce, Joe Pesci, Rod Steiger, Philip Terry.
I think I have two. How many do you have, Dana?
A couple. Go ahead, Lori.
Well, I'll do one first. I'm pretty sure Tom Cruise was Dustin Hoffman's brother in Rain Man.
You are correct. That's right. Very good.
Go ahead, Dana, take one.
Dana?
All
So,
right, let's
some of
see.
these are Dana only, you know.
Well, I don't know
Well,
about that.
yeah, the Dickie Moore, the world of Dickie Moore, huh?
Philip Terry was Ray Milland's brother in The Lost Weekend.
That is correct. Well done. I
And
didn't I know that movie very well, but did not know the actor's name.
Natch.
No, that's Howard DeSoto. Well, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
And Guy Pearce was Colin Firth's brother in The King's Speech.
Exactly so. Well done.
Right. I'll leave it the rest out there.
I'll take one more then. I think Joe Pesci was De Niro's brother in Raging Bull, wasn't
Very
he?
well done.
All
Good.
right.
Good job. So you guys got four of the seven. We're leaving still. Who played the brother of Kyle Chandler, Dickie Moore, and Rod Steiger? If you know those, give us a call.
All right. And Laura, you go ahead, please.
All right. Well, as I sometimes do, my questions are a follow-up for my intro, and this is a baseball geography rated question, so a little bit for everybody here. I'm looking for the four smallest cities that have a baseball team in them, a Major League Baseball team, in which the city name is part of the name. So you would eliminate the Texas Rangers just because that gets confusing. So if it were the San Francisco Giants, which it isn't, it'd be that. But I'm also looking on the other side for the four largest cities that do not have a team.
Ooh,
So
good
the four
question.
smallest that do and the four biggest that don't. Have
Well,
at it.
so well, let's see. The four, I mean, that gives us a lot of range. I would say probably San Jose might be one of the largest without a baseball team.
It is. It's the fourth largest without a team. Give him a bell for that one. Excellent.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dana.
I
No, this is not you.
Well, Dana frequently knows more than he lets on.
I know, I know. He plays his cards very close to the
Yeah,
vest.
you, Matt, wait, can I just let me just ask one question. You may not know the answer to this, but are these cities all over 1 million people?
Two of them are, and one of them is not. So,
Hmm.
and San Jose was just below the list. The next one up is just below 1 million, but close. It's at 984,000, and then the other two have 1 million or more
All right.
of the big ones.
And this is
I
just
can
baseball. This is no
just Major League
pre-season
Baseball, correct?
I mean, the city that I always think of as being huge, but I can never remember if it's population or area, is Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, that's
That's
good.
it. That's
Is that
second
right?
on the list. It is.
Okay.
Jacksonville, Florida does not have a team, and they have just over 1 million people. Very nice.
And it's
Go ahead.
not that small, but it might be one of the four smallest. Boston?
No, Boston has
Boston's bigger
way
than
too
that.
many. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All
These
right.
are, they're
How
all.
about Indianapolis?
Indianapolis is just off the list of the biggest cities. It's sixth.
Indianapolis has a baseball team now?
No, it doesn't. That's on the
Oh, I
biggest
see. I
cities that
see. You're
don't.
going the other side. I'm sorry. I went over to the little ones that
Well,
do.
I'll make one more guess. How about Austin? Austin,
Austin is
Texas.
on the list. That's the one just below 1 million people.
All right.
So we have three of the four biggest cities that don't have a team:
And
Jacksonville, Austin, and San Jose. We're looking for the biggest city that doesn't, and we have none of the smallest teams. If you want to take a guess or two each on those, the smallest cities that do have a major league team.
smallest cities.
small cities with a baseball team.
Yeah.
How about, I'm just kind of
Yeah.
walking the map here. No, they're all pretty sizable. What am I missing?
And this is, I did not look at the metropolitan area as it goes out. all of it too big, but the city itself in these cases, in a number of them, I was surprised that the population was, they're all under 350,000. And they're all, it goes without saying, so I'll say it, really well-known cities and well-known
Dana, where does San Diego rank in population? Is that a significant
thing? I think they have over a million.
Way too big.
Yeah, of course. All right, I don't know. Let's think about it.
How about Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, ooh. I was surprised. I thought Milwaukee would be on there. They are seventh on the list, so they they're not on the list. But that they're close. They have 560,000.
What about you know, declining population wise, Cleveland?
Cleveland's on the list. Way to go. 329,000. Okay. Yeah, they're fourth on the list of smallest. That's good. There's three smaller.
Okay. St. Louis then.
St. Louis is the number one smallest city with a team.
St. Louis? Really?
Well, you know, it used to be a much bigger city. It's been losing population steadily.
Because they put up that arch.
Yeah, that's it.
It's 281,000. I was stunned. I looked it up.
Wow, on two different that's stores. Really small.
All right, guys. So we're looking for the biggest city that doesn't have a team and two more of the smallest cities, St. Louis and Cleveland. The Guardians and the Cardinals are on the small city list. We'll get two more from our audience.
All right. Okay. Good.
Way to go.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi.
I have a question about soft drink brands worldwide and their value. And I wonder if you could tell me what the two most valuable soft drink brands are worldwide.
And this means in like their total valuation, like how much is the company worth?
Well, this says it's based on the brand value.
Well, I can't imagine a Coca-Cola is not up there someplace.
Me neither.
You are right. That is number one. But what is number two?
Mr. Pibb.
You know, her voice indicated that Mr. Pibb was a good guess.
So Coke is obviously number one. Then what's the number two?
It's going to be a surprise. How about Dr. Pepper?
How about worldwide? How about Fanta?
No.
That's a brand. Well, isn't that more
is it?
Of a, is it?
I don't know.
And it's not Dr. Pepper, I presume.
No, it is not Dr. Pepper. And this is a product that is widely consumed and advertised in the U.S.
Hmm. Not chocolate Yoo-hoo.
No, wow.
not 7-Up.
Ginger ale, no.
No, ginger ale's not a bad guess. So it's obviously not Pepsi, correct?
I'm sorry, it's not what?
It's obviously not Pepsi, right?
No, Pepsi is number four on this particular list.
Okay.
And 7-Up, I don't think,
this
would be
one
on
that's
it.
Become way more popular in the last 10 years or so.
How about Mountain Dew?
No, I think its time sort of came and went.
Oh. Is this a carbonated drink? Can I ask that?
I'm pretty sure.
Is it an energy drink like Monster or something?
You're getting close.
Oh, is it Red Bull?
Red Bull?
A Red Bull.
It sure is. Red Bull.
Wow.
I didn't even know it's...
This particular valuation says is roughly 20% of Coca-Cola's. Wow. Which is kind of hard to believe.
I don't even think of it as a soft drink, but I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's a hard soft drink.
I've consumed lots of soft drinks. I've never had a Red Bull, so I can't weigh in on that.
Don't start now.
Now for something completely different. I've run across what maybe is saying that the most places and things named after one person. The most places and things named after one person.
Hmm. And you're looking for the number one person.
Yeah, and this person has had animals, plants, 27 towns in the U.S., geographical features, universities, astronomical features.
My first thing that came to mind from your hint was Luther Burbank.
No.
My first thought was Abraham Lincoln, because there's a lot of cities like that, and then there's Lincoln Logs. But
no, we need, there are 100 animals and 300 plants.
100 animals?
What?
300? Somebody has 300.
Is it an American person?
It is not an American, but this person did travel extensively in the United States. And again, 27 towns in the U.S.
Well, then how about the Marquis de Lafayette?
No.
That's a deep cut, Dana.
And when this person traveled, were we the United States?
It's Columbus.
No, it is not Columbus.
He never traveled in the United States.
Yeah, he did not make it to the
United States. Well,
a little bit early.
You know,
that's why I asked that.
They like to keep it secret, but.
So was it the United States when this person traveled in them?
Yes. He definitely was an explorer and explored in South America. This may be more obscure than I thought it was.
No, this is a good question. We're just dummies.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll give you a hint. There is a gorgeous, gorgeous state park in California named for him.
So it's not Theodore Roosevelt, is it?
No.
Gorgeous state park.
With one of our classic, it features one of our classic California flora. It's iconic to California.
Right. So it's the.
Is this person as well known as we're thinking it is? He is?
I was thinking he was better known, but perhaps I think after this, maybe not. I'm going to give you another hint. The state park is about 200 miles north of San Francisco.
North San Francisco. Okay.
North of San Francisco, and it was established to protect one of our iconic trees.
So the redwood tree.
The redwood. It's Methuselah, isn't it?
Did he explore here? He was asleep.
Yeah.
He was asleep at the time. So it was to protect redwood.
General Grant?
General Madrone?
No.
I think we're stumped.
We're not as smart as we think we are.
It is Humboldt Redwoods State Park, named for Alexander von Humboldt.
Right.
Wow.
And he's got the Humboldt Current in South America, Humboldt Mountains in Antarctica. But yeah, I was just blown away because it's the range of things that he has had named after him. Not just towns, but 300 plants and 100 animals.
Amazing. Humboldt's gift by Saul Bellow.
Right.
That's a good one. Yeah. I don't know any animals named after Humboldt.
Humboldt University in Berlin, yes.
Yeah. Anybody know, are there species of wolves and dogs named Humboldt? I don't know.
A Humboldt beetle.
I think it's would be in the Latin names, probably.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice.
Humboldt-y. I like it. Thank you for that. That's great.
That's cool.
Thank you very much.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Great call.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We have a couple of lines open right now. We would love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Joshua Cosman, I'll let you describe it. You're on Substack under what name, Josh?
I've got a weekly column on Substack called On a Pacific Isle, A-I-S-L-E. Sort of similar to what I used to do when I was on staff at the San Francisco Chronicle, except with more swears.
Okay.
And
And it's, and I'll plug it. It's spectacular.
Oh, you're very kind, Lori. Thank you.
And it's really true.
Thank you very much.
It's wide ranging and it's wonderful.
And you don't have any editors telling you what to write.
That's exactly it. So I have reinstated the Oxford comma in my prose after 35 years of being suppressed by the Chronicle style.
The Chronicle made you remove the Oxford comma?
It not only did, but I got into the habit. I would put it, I would leave it out of other things that I wrote.
Oh man! All right.
And the other thing I was going to plug is I have a weekly cryptic crossword with my colleague Henry Picciotto at Out of Left Field, which is a continuation of the puzzle we used to do for the Nation magazine back before they decided to cut the puzzle to, you know, save 50 cents a week. And but no, you know, I'm not bitter.
A
it's
baseball
good.
Ref.
And anyway,
a baseball ref.
All right, Chris, that's where you can find us. So, enough self-promotion. Let's get on with the show. And, thank you for that, Dana.
Yeah, no problem. And Lori Fisher, of course, teaches at Dabo Valley College. And I am your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Okay, so I believe it's my turn. Let me give you a couple questions here. So I have a list in San Francisco has been coming up in question-wise this week, just looking at different things. I was shocked, but then I don't really drive to San Francisco that much anymore, but I was shocked to find out that there is a $12 an hour parking meter in San Francisco. Where is that? Or actually more than one $12 an hour parking meter, but they're all located in the same place. Where are they?
In front of Josh's home.
I don't know. I don't usually pay to park. I would, If I were in charge, I'd put them around City Hall. Is that where they are?
Who wants to go there? My God.
Well,
lots of people have to.
Nobody wants to, but yeah, if you have to, you have to.
All right. Well, I'm throwing that out. So if anybody you live in San Francisco, let us know where the $12 an hour parking meters
Joanne
are.
Is guessing North Beach.
Not North Beach, not City Hall.
That, does it make sense that it would be they'd want to, you know, gouge people there either because it's so crowded or they wanted people not to stay long?
Yeah, obviously there's a certain, you know.
Is it new? Is it near whatever the park is now that we used to call Candlestick Park? I don't mean literally that. I mean the downtown one where the Giants play now. What used to be Oracle Park. Is it still
yes,
Oracle Park?
Yes, that's where it is. Oracle
is
Park.
It?
Yeah.
Even more of a destination than City Hall.
They have dynamic pricing. It's different during games and not.
Is that right?
Do. Yeah.
Well, $12 an hour is the highest in San Francisco. So, okay. Well, let me get to the other questions here. So I have a list of the five most given tickets for parking violations in San Francisco. In other words, what are the five reasons where they give the most tickets in San Francisco, parking tickets in San Francisco? So I'll let you each have one.
Did something happened to you recently?
No, not at all. I haven't gotten a parking ticket in years.
This seems to be on your mind.
No, but
or as the shrink say, why is this so important to you?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I heard on the radio that they were raising the bottom meter price from 50 cents an hour to $1 an hour in San Francisco. And then I looked it up and I saw that they had the $12 an hour meter down near Oracle Park. So that just made me do a little research into parking.
Okay. So you're looking for
these are the five top reasons that gather the most parking violations in San Francisco. So I'll give you each one guess.
Joanne is guessing double parking.
Double parking? You mean double parking as in one car is out further in the street and one car is on the curb?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. And I would guess parking tickets for expired meters. That would be the low-hanging
fruit.
That
is one. That is definitely the low-hanging fruit. Yeah. All right. There's your expired meter.
Expired meter, and I would say street cleaning, because that's the one I get.
Yes. Actually, street cleaning, weirdly enough, is number one.
I don't think it's weird at all, man. I mean, you know, most spaces, you're either okay to park there or you're not. But the one where you have to... You can always park there unless it's Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. That's just waiting to spring on you.
Big trap.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, the top five reasons for parking violations in San Francisco. Number one is street cleaning. Number two is the unpaid or expired meter. Still looking for the other three on that. And let's see. I have a list of the most frequent words in the Bible with at least six letters. The top five words in the Bible, most frequently used, that have at least six letters.
At least.
And I'm going to tell you what part of speech they are, just to just give you a little bit of a clue. Number one is a proper noun. Number two is a preposition, adverb. Let's see. Number three is a noun. Number four is a preposition. Number five is a noun.
Now, this is six, the entire thing. This is the Bible and
this is the Old and the New Testament.
And the appendix.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the appendix, but it's the Old.
Laurie knows what I mean.
I do. The good part. Well, I'm gonna take what I probably is wrong. How about prayer for one of the nouns?
No, it's a pretty good guess. But no,
not it. Wow.
Not a lot of praying.
Not even going out in the Bible, no.
No, that's. I mean, because, well,
even in the,
not to.
In the New Testament, right? No?
I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't
either.
Is there a lot of praying in the New Testament? There's not a lot of praying in the Old Testament.
No, there's not. Right, go ahead, Josh. What do you got?
So the proper noun is Jehovah.
No. It's again, remember, it's the most frequent words.
Right.
So there's probably a limit on how many times Jehovah was mentioned.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Okay. But who gets, so go ahead.
Preposition, how about between?
Not a bad guess.
Yeah.
You're dancing around it just a little bit.
Oh, dancing around between.
Beneath.
No.
Betwixt.
You got the right first letter.
Oh.
Before.
Before, yes. Before.
That's our preposition or our preposition adverb?
That's your preposition adverb.
All right.
Okay.
Conjunction, actually, too.
I mean, the thing about before is that's not, you know, very distinctive to the Bible. Are other ones of these more Bible specific, or is this just a sort of a sampling of a corpus that helps us? That's a vague question.
But that is
a vague
question.
You see what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think there's really only one that you could call particularly Bible specific. The others are more generic.
I mean, before is probably highly ranked in the works of Charles Dickens too.
I'll
ask about that next week.
Okay. Good.
Yes. So let me run through this again. So I am looking for the top five reasons for parking violations, tickets given out in San Francisco. So far we have street cleaning and unpaid and expired meter. And I'm looking for the five most frequent words in the Bible with at least six letters. And so far we have before. I think it's just before, right?
Yeah.
And all right, I'm going to throw just one more in here. Low income country where the highest percentage of women actually work? 87% of women are in the workforce. Mm. What is considered a low income country where the highest percentage of women are in the workforce? 87%.
Mm. Is it in the Western Hemisphere?
No, it is not.
Mm. Well,
I mean,
there's so many. It could be every place.
Right? Yeah,
low-income country. There's just so many.
I would assume that low-income country would correlate highly with women in the workplace. But
me too.
Depending on, I mean, is it Africa somewhere?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be more continent specific than. But I told you it's not in the Western
Hemisphere. No, you did say that. I remember. I was there at the time.
You were there at the time.
I don't know. What about Bangladesh?
That's a good guess, and I think that's probably three or four. I mean, that's on the that would be in the top five. I'm just going to run through a couple of emails here while you're working on that. So, Stephanie is wondering if the one of the words I'm looking for in the Bible is father. No, it is not. Let's see. There were a couple of answers to your brother question earlier.
Go ahead.
And they all, I think most of them have to do with Rod Steiger being Marlon Brando's brother in On the Waterfront.
Good. Give everybody a bell.
James and I'm getting everybody here.
Joanne guessed that too.
And Peter and Michael all guessed that.
Good. That was a good one.
Okay. And John Sparky, otherwise known, is wondering if San Antonio is one of the cities with the smallest cities with a baseball team, or is it the largest city?
I'll give the answer.
Well, it doesn't have a baseball team.
But Sparky's real name is John. I did not know that.
Yes, that's
and once name. Again, John, aka Sparky, is correct. San Antonio is the biggest city without a major league team, 1.5 million.
And then the smallest with a team, he is guessing Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is the second smallest team just after St. Louis with 313,000. All right, we have one more small baseball city. That's it.
Okay. And
go ahead. I was just saying, Joanne is guessing red zone for the parking ticket.
You know, red zone is not one of the top five reasons.
Okay. And then Josh, what's a city in the Bible that's going to have more than six letters that might be a place? Like Jerusalem or?
Jerusalem figures often in the New Testament. I don't know how much, not so much in the Old, though, I think. But we could try it.
I'll give it a try. Jerusalem.
Ah. No.
All right.
No. All right.
I just realized that shaking your head doesn't convey anything to the radio audience.
I felt it.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, it is us. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi.
Hey, hi.
Hi, guys. Hey, this is great. We've got all kinds of crackpot ideas.
The brothers.
Oh, the brothers. Yes. So
love this question, of course.
Yes.
So I know that that Kyle Chandler was Ben Affleck's brother in Argo.
No, that is not correct. You're having some interesting sort of little brain short circuits. Keep try again with Kyle Chandler. You're interestingly close.
Okay.
Remembering that Ben Affleck was famously snubbed for any Oscar consideration for Argo.
You're right. It just seemed like it was right. But let me try this one. Dickie Moore.
Okay.
Gary Cooper's brother in Sergeant York.
That is correct. Good well job. Done.
Good work.
All right.
Those were mine.
All right, and small market Major League Baseball cities. I want to say Cincinnati.
If you said that, you'd be right. That's the fourth one.
Well
very
done.
Good. They are a city of 315,000.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Low hanging fruit.
The scofflaws that get tickets, could it be a...
loading zone, the yellow zone.
No.
Bus zone.
No, the blue, handicap.
No.
All right, that's it.
Okay, we're out of colors now.
All right, that's all we got. Okay, so I've got a question. Let's see here. This is an actual movie question that somehow I don't think you have toyed upon. So at least eight actors have played Philip Marlowe. And I got a couple of little questions about this. One is which two of the movies in which Philip Marlowe appears had their titles, their release titles, changed from the original Chandler title to something else?
Oh,
that's good.
Isn't there I feel there's a movie based on The Lady in the Lake that's called.
It's called The Lady of the Lake, in the Lake.
Oh, all right. Nuts.
Robert Montgomery, 1947.
Right. Okay.
Huh. Let's see. Well, This is kind of obscure. They use the plot of one of Marlowe's appearances to be, is it the Saint or the Falcon with George Sanders? They use the same plot that they used in Murder My Sweet a couple of years earlier. Are you counting that by any chance?
I am not, because I don't think the character, it wasn't Philip Marlowe. Because
You're right. But all right.
They copped a lot of those plots back then for the serials.
Was there a comedy? Did they twist one of the Marlowe books into a comedy and change the title?
I don't know if you, because I always think of this actor as more of a comic actor than a dramatic actor who was in it. But I cannot actually honestly say I remember this seeing this movie. So I don't know if he played it for laughs.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, there was one. Wait a minute now. I mean, they had a movie with James Garner just called Marlowe.
That's the one.
Nice. All right.
Garner is kind of a hint and grin kind of comic actor. But it was based on The Little Sister, and there was never a movie called The Little Sister. So, there were two movies based on Farewell, My Lovely. And right. Robert Mitchum was in the one in 75 called Farewell, My Lovely, but they made an earlier one that they changed the name. Ooh. And that was actually the first appearance of Philip Marlowe in film. That was Dick Powell in 40.
Well, that must be Murder My Sweet then, right?
Murder My Sweet. And then the associated question is, which Philip Marlowe had nothing to do with Chandler?
Well, I mean, there's Michael Gambon The Singing
you.
Detective.
There you go.
That was my.
And Danny loves The Singing Detective.
I love
The Singing Detective too. Yes, I watch it every few years, and it always holds up.
We once made a pilgrimage to London to see Michael Gambon in Endgame.
We did.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right. So that's it from us.
Figured out my Affleck conundrum, but I looked it up, so it doesn't count. But I see now where I went wrong.
Okay.
I'll leave it out there because I looked it up, and that's not fair.
I admire your sense of integrity. Thank you for that.
Restraint. Very nice. Not big around here, but...
Yeah, I don't have integrity. I just have restraint.
Yeah, you got a little bit today.
All right, thanks.
All right, guys. See you later.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call. We have a couple of lines open right now. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And we are about... past halfway through, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Josh, let's start with you.
My question is, who won a Best Actor Oscar and in what movie for playing Kyle Chandler's brother? That's all I got.
Okay.
And I had my baseball cities questions, and we got all eight, so I have nothing out there as well.
All right, and I am looking for the top five reasons for parking violations in San Francisco. This is as of the 2025. And so far, we just have street cleaning and an unpaid or expired meter. We're looking for the other three on that list. And I have the list of the five most frequent words in the Bible with over six letters, at least six letters. I'm sorry. So six letters and up. The five most frequent words in the Bible, six letters and up. So far, we have before. What are the other ones in there? And what is the low-income country where the highest percentage of women are in the workforce? In this case, it happens to be 87% of women are in the workforce. So,
how about parking tickets curbing your wheels or not curbing your wheels?
No.
Oh, that used to be the big one. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
In the olden days.
Yeah.
And I believe, Josh, it is your turn.
Okay. I was not going to double up like this, but I had a different question that fell through. So I am sorry to say I'm going to do a sequel, like a studio executive. It worked once. We'll do it again. Same question as before, but now with women. Who won the Best Actress Award for playing the sister of the characters played by these actresses. Ready? Mm-hmm. Helena Bonham Carter, Sally Hawkins, Kim Hunter, Evelyn Keyes and Ann Rutherford, Jenny Linden, Ricky Lindholm, Melissa Yandel Smith, and Julia Stiles. So these are all actresses who were in a movie in which the actress playing her sister won a Best Actress Oscar. So give me the Oscar-winning actress and the movie. Again, the sisters are Helena Bonham Carter, Sally Hawkins, Kim Hunter, Evelyn Keyes and Ann Rutherford, Jenny Linden, Ricky Lindholm, Melissa Yandel Smith, and Julia Stiles.
Ooh.
Well, a little harder on the side.
I think Kim Hunter was a Vivian Leigh's sister in A Streetcar Named Desire.
That is correct.
All right.
Very good. What else?
Helena Bonham Carter was the sister of Emma Thompson in Howard's End, I think.
That is right.
Well, nice.
What else?
Let's see, Kim Hunter, we got, would you go over the list once more?
Sure. We got Helena Bonham Carter and Kim Hunter. We still have Sally Hawkins, Evelyn Keyes, and Ann Rutherford. That's two sisters in the same movie. Jenny Linden, Ricky Lindholm, Melissa Yandel Smith, and Julia Stiles.
Whoa.
The Evelyn Keyes is, she played one of Scarlett's sisters in Gone with the Wind. So
so the Oscar winner was?
Vivian Leigh.
Good. Both. So you got both the Vivian.
We got both the Vivian Leigh. Yes.
Good.
And let's see. The tough one that but I saw the movie again recently, was the Melissa Yandel Smith. I think she was the one that played Frances McDormand's sister.
Nomadland.
That is correct. Well done.
Okay.
Dana steps up. I was not familiar with Melissa Yandel Smith, but she was apparently a fixture in San Francisco theater world, big player at ACT. And died a couple years ago.
Julia
Stiles would be recently. She's pretty young.
Julia Stiles is recently, and I mean more recently than Gone with the Wind. But Julia Stiles is no longer as young as you think of her as. That's my experience. The ones we have left are Sally Hawkins, Jenny Linden, Ricky Lindholm, Julia Stiles.
Okay. And Lori, why don't you go ahead too?
Well, Josh's Oxford comma comment inspired me. I'm not sure if this will be a lower high-hanging fruit, but the New Yorker this week announced a new style guide, and they made changes into words, many words, and I'm going to give you four of them. I want to know what they used to do, and as of this week, what they're going to do with these four terms. One is website, one is inbox, one is internet, and the other one is just a personal peeve. What do they do with high school, that the word high school or the words high school, that is particularly upsetting to me that they did not change? I know that's a weird question. They do something when they sometimes print the word high school that drives me nuts. And I just thought I'd throw it out there as an irritant. But the others are official. Website, what was it and what is it? Inbox, what was it and what is it? Same with internet. And then I'll...
So they're not changing the diuresis rules on coordinate and so forth?
They're sticking with them. They love the diuresis. Part of the article is about the diuresis.
You mean the actual words of high school? In other words, is it a capitalization?
It's not a capitalization issue with high school.
But it is a capitalization issue, surely, for internet. It must be that they used to capitalize it and they're going to stop.
That is for internet. That's correct on internet.
And inbox, I'm going to guess they used to hyphenate it and they're going to stop.
Another correct thing. Inbox lost its hyphen.
Okay. I don't know about website.
Website and high school.
High school.
Yeah, it's
so
weird.
They do something with high school that irritates Lori Fisher.
Yes.
And in spite of which, they're going to keep doing it, is what you're saying.
They are. I looked it up, and as recently as this week, they did it. And
what can you do with
would this
school?
Be a change?
Is it high school?
If we were just to write high school on a piece of paper, would that be wrong, according to the New Yorker?
No, that's not the problem.
Okay. Are they calling it something other than high school?
No, they use the words, and the spelling doesn't change. And it's in certain circumstances, it's one thing, and in certain circumstances, it's another thing.
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
And we're looking for the website as well. So Josh got inbox, lost its hyphen, internet lost its capitalization. So website and the Lori Fisher irritant factor on high school.
All right. So has the internet become so generic that that's the reason it lost its capitalization?
Yes. It's not a proper noun anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
While we were talking, our friend Joanne has weighed in on the Oscar-winning sisters question to say that Sally Hawkins was the sister of Cate Blanchett in Blue Jasmine, and she is entirely correct. So give Joanne a bell for us.
All right. And let's see here. Chris is wondering if the loading zone is one of the reasons for getting a parking ticket. One of the top five reasons for getting a parking ticket in San Francisco. No, it is not, believe it or not. And okay, I'll come back to that. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So there's a couple of words I think most people use them all the time, but don't know what they mean. What is AM? And PM means on time, no, 11 p.m.
Prime meridian.
Post meridian.
Thank you.
Anti meridian and post meridian.
For which one? Which one? AM. Let's start with AM. What does it mean?
Anti meridian, before noon.
Very good. Okay. Anti is Latin for before. What about after?
Post meridian, afternoon.
Okay, very good. I'm glad people know that. Which world city named after the planet Mars?
Which world city is named after the planet Mars?
Yeah. Oh. In their own language. I asked a question about a year ago.
Cairo.
And, Dana kind of spoke. Cairo it is. Yes, it is named after Mars.
Brilliant.
It means, yeah, why did they call it that? Because the planet Mars is red. So it was the planet of war. And, you know, Egypt was involved in many, many wars. Okay. Mm-hmm. The last question, what is the largest connected empire in history?
The largest empire? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of it.
We know that, you know, Britain was a large empire, but was made out of different parts of the world. This one was connected from one side of the world to the other side.
So right. Is that the Mongol Empire or the...
It is, yes. Oh. It's in it from China all the way to Poland and Finland. Yeah, history is beautiful. If people study history, we will have far less wars. So they did invade most of the world. How many people did they kill in millions during their invasions? They went all the way across Asia, Persia, they didn't quite make it part of the Middle East, all the way to Finland and Poland. How many people they killed?
I wouldn't hazard a guess on that.
Take a guess, in tens of millions.
30 million.
I'll tell you his answer, because time is short. 60 million people were killed. 11% of world population then was killed, and it was so much killing. Carbon dioxide, global warming actually stopped. Earth got cooled by several degrees because far less people lived. And what country defeated them eventually in the battle of the Spring of Julius or Enzalut, 1260 AD? They not only defeated the Mongol army, they demolished it and they just stopped them.
Egyptians.
That sounds like the Egyptians to me.
Egypt. You know, funny thing about both the Battle of Enzalut, which is a battle of the Spring of Julius, and the Mongol thing, it happened what part of the world today? Very big in the news today. Part, you know, east of Egypt.
east of Egypt.
The battle of, you know, David and Goliath and the battle of the Mongols happened in that exact part of the world which is in the news every day.
Oh, you mean the
Gaza. In Gaza.
Gaza. Yes. Gaza. Okay, that's very quickly. Mongols killed every living creature on the planet they went across, except two. Which ones? You had rule never to kill this or that?
No.
Don't know.
Men, I'm sorry, women and children, which is not being followed today. They never killed a woman or a child. So they were far more advanced and progressive and human than horrible things happening in Ukraine and in Gaza today. All of this show, and please, everybody, donate money to KBFN, KLAW, and as well as KQDFM, because we are in the chopping block. We all are in the chopping block. They don't like this kind of shows. They like Americans to stay ignorant. Thank you very much for a very good day. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
Thanks, Ed.
We're the anti-ignorance show. And let's see now. Just a quick reminder, if you want to give us a call, 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. We're toll-free, 866-798-8255. So I'll just throw this in very quickly, Josh, because it has something to do with you. This opera had its first complete performance December 14th, 1925 in Berlin. What is it?
Oh. December of 1925 in Berlin.
Right. Yes.
And you say it had its first complete performance.
Right.
As if to suggest that this was subsequent.
And it is. It has been performed by the San Francisco Opera.
Too. Subsequent to incomplete performances is what you're saying.
It is. It was performed in pieces earlier the year before. But its first complete performance is December 14th, 1925.
German composer?
Yes. German speaking, let's put it that way.
German speaking. So.
Yeah. This is all you, Josh.
I know, but I mean, German speaking says Austrian to me. He's being cagey, but it.
Or Swiss.
Yeah, come on. Is it a Mozart opera?
1925.
Well, I know, but I mean, presumably you're saying something like it's not an opera that the composer finished 6 months earlier.
Oh, yeah, yes, it is an opera that composer finished.
Oh, when you said complete, I thought maybe somebody had assembled the pieces out of historical.
No, it's a 20th century opera.
It's a 20th century opera,
correct.
And it's the Threepenny Opera.
It is
Kurt
not.
Weill.
It is not. Is a one word title.
I don't know. I see where you're going with this. This is we're coming up on the centenary of this opera.
You are.
That should nail it.
There's only a few dates I know in the world, and this isn't one of them. All right, let me think about it, or maybe
it has nothing to do with the opening of the Suez Canal. So there you go.
Right, exactly. Let's talk amongst yourselves.
All right, leave it out there.
In the meantime, caller Tracy Joanne says is guessing the word heaven for the Bible question.
It is not heaven. That's an excellent guess. But you know, I don't think they really talk about heaven the tremendous amount in the Bible. That's sort of a later on thing. Right. Anyway, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hello. My name's Marion, and I have gotten a parking ticket for not turning my tires either in or out on a hill.
I know. What an unfortunate incident that was. No, I'm sorry to say that it's not his top five.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
And let's see. Peter is wondering, one of the most common words over six letters is brother. It is not. And James is saying there is a new law concerning parking with 20 feet within 20 feet of a corner.
True.
I don't think that's manifested itself yet because that's a relatively new law.
They're not ticketing until April 1st.
Okay. Well, then that stands.
Within 20 feet of what?
Of a stop sign.
Yeah.
And whether or not it's marked red or not, they're still going to be giving tickets for that.
All right. Nancy is wondering if Sabbath is one of the words.
Ooh.
But it is not.
Yeah.
And she's wondering about parking. Is it parking in a handicap space? No, it is not.
What's left?
Right. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'm going to take a stab at parking, residential parking permits.
That is absolutely right.
Nice.
Yes. Over your residential parking limit. That is correct.
And a quick question. It's late, but where was the Beatles' first paid concert? Where did they play first in America?
Oh, in America?
Was it?
It wasn't the
television. This is not on television. So this is just playing in public,
first,
right?
First actual concert venue, posters, the whole thing, yeah.
Is it
okay.
Shea Stadium? Is it Shea Stadium?
That was at the end.
Was that?
I think okay. That was their last concert. I'm not sure, but I think so.
The Cow Palace, believe it or not. That was their first paid concert.
On their first tour of the Cow Palace.
Their
That's
last
good.
Show at Candlestick. So there you go. Two you can impress people at the bar. So anyway, yeah, Cow Palace.
Interesting.
That's good.
Okay, all right, good. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Peter is wondering if the opera is Firebird, the question I just asked. But no, it's not Firebird.
Not an opera.
And let's see. Let's see if we can take one more call. All right. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there? Anybody? No? Okay.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Dave.
Hi. You're on. Are you there, caller?
I'm not sure if I'm the one who's on.
Yeah, you are. You're the one who's on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a question. I have an answer for Laurie. Is it that high school is either one word or not one word?
That is correct. So when it's an adjective, when they say I'm a high school teacher, it's one word, or high school curriculum, it's one word. But if it's I went to high school in Illinois, they make it two words. They don't do it for elementary school. Don't understand it. I checked as recently as yesterday, and they still do it. And the New York Times does it as well. So when it serves as an adjective, it's one word, and it drives me nuts. Don't know why, don't know when it happened, but I'm investigating it. Very good. Give her a bell.
Love it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, time to clean up here. Josh, let's start with you.
Okay, brothers in Oscars. Kyle Chandler's brother was not Ben Affleck, but rather Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea. And sisters, Jenny Linden played Glenda Jackson's sister in Women in Love. Those are the two title characters. Ricky Lindholm, whom I know as half of the great songwriting team of Garfunkel and Oates, played Hilary Swank's sister in Million Dollar Baby. And Julia Stiles was the sister of Oscar winner Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook.
Nice.
And that's me out.
All right.
The New Yorker, the only one we have left, his website was two words and the web was capitalized. Now it's one word with no capital W.
And better that way.
Yeah, much better that way. And we got the rest. That's what I have.
Okay. The top five reasons for parking violations, tickets given in San Francisco, street cleaning, unpaid and or expired meter, no over residential parking limit, no license plates. Ooh. And parking, blocking a driveway.
Mm.
Blocking a driveway. The most frequent words in the Bible, the five most frequent words in the Bible with six letters or more. Israel, before, children, against, and people. The low-income country where the highest percentage of women work, 87% of women work, North Korea.
Oh,
I don't think there's much of a choice.
No, that's
the opera. This opera had its first complete performance on December 14, 1925.
Give me the composer. Give me the composer.
Well, you're going to get it immediately if I give her the composer.
Oh, okay.
All right. It's Alban Berg.
Oh, it's Wozzeck then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, there you go, folks. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m.